Alrighty. Hag Sameach again. And Hag Sameach to all those who may be watching this today or watching this later or whenever we are. Greetings from Jerusalem. Greetings from your brethren. And, wow, it's going quick, but in one way, but yet it's still the first day of Unleavened Bread. Having a good feast here. I want to talk about a subject today. And the message is called, Let There Be Light. Let there be light. And I think in the world we live in, the most complicated world man has ever seen, everything from religion to politics to just daily life, everything is so complicated. It's a matter of wonder how everybody isn't just totally stressed out to the point of who knows what. But I think through that, sometimes we forget that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits and powers of the air. And there's a spiritual battle going on with light and darkness. Do you remember when Yeshua, on that last Pesach, what did he say to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you as a grain of wheat, and I prayed for you. And I'm telling you, anybody that's a first fruit, and I said this before, if you're not a first fruit, a firstborn Pesach has very little to do with you. You know, it's a great holiday, great celebration, but this 8 days has everything to do with first fruits and firstborn. And if you are a first fruit, and especially we had some immersions here so far, you know, maybe we'll have more before we end, we'll see. But Satan is going to attack you. He's angry. While the cherubs in heaven are cheering at this, Satan is not very happy when there's another child entering the family of Yahweh. And this spiritual battle we're going to have, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, the way the churches in the world say, you know, they're all talking about in the end time, revival, revival, and it's not there. At the end time, it's a great falling away. It's not a revival. And that's what we're seeing. We're already well into it. Absolutely well into it. But Satan is also very, very smart. You know, he's a spirit being and he's smart. And like the frog in the beaker, the frog in the water, if it was boiling and he threw a frog in, he'd jump right out. But you put him in warm water and turn it up a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, what happens? You know, you'll wind up killing him. So it's the same thing that we're seeing today, that this spiritual darkness is going on. And I want to talk today about light and darkness. I want to talk about the difference of light and darkness and what does it mean to our life? You know, because I think in the world we live in today, there might be more darkness in our life than we're recognizing. And let's see what Scripture says about it. Let's start in Genesis 1. Right in the beginning, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And the earth being without form and empty and darkness on the face of the deep, the Spirit of Elohim moved gently on the face of the waters." So what do we see? We see that the earth started in darkness. And one of the reasons why we start the month by conjunction and not crescent is, I say, when you come to Israel, and we talk a lot about functional thinking, and if you look in Scripture and you look at patterns, the Father never changes. So within His pattern, it doesn't mean that He can't change His mind. What it means is He doesn't change His pattern. He doesn't change His character. So it doesn't mean that, you know, if you were having chicken or steak, and then at the last minute you decided for the chicken instead of the steak, that you're double-minded. That's not what it means. It means that once your mindset, your character is set. You know, like somebody one time came up to me and said something about someone I knew and said, so-and-so did this. And right off the bat, without knowing anything, I said, I don't know what happened, and I'm not judging the situation without knowing it yet, but I can tell you this person didn't do what you're saying. I knew his character. I knew it wasn't like that. So when you're looking at the calendar, you look at precedence, and everything Yahweh does starts in darkness. The world started in darkness. You know, the day starts with the absence of the sun in darkness. The month starts in darkness. Life starts in darkness. And the reason why the Father's showing that things start in darkness, that He can create something out of nothing. Like it says in Hebrews 11. You know, that the worlds were framed, you know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So that we know the worlds were framed not by things that already existed. We don't have to see a sliver of a crescent to know another month is going to start. You know, it's not the way it works. So, the precedent here is things start in darkness and they come into light. And that's all of our life. You know, we start in darkness. I mean, some of us, if you could be a second generation believer, you didn't start in complete darkness. But every one of us starts with human nature. You know, and until the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, it's not going to fight that human nature and kill that human nature. So it's important we understand this, that there is a difference between light and darkness. Now, in the world we're living in today, what Satan is trying to do is, he's trying to obscure that there's no difference between light and darkness. He's trying to make everything gray. You know, it's not white and it's not black, everything is gray. And you know what's interesting? In Israel, there is no color gray. You know, Yahweh's way are white or black, light or darkness, right or wrong. There's not gray areas. You don't look in your Torah and you don't see, I command you, well, maybe I command you. No, His ways are very defined. And in the world we're living in, they're bringing confusion because they're trying to bring clouds over the light and cover it with darkness. And it's important to understand that. Ecclesiastes 2:13, you don't have to go there, I'm just going to read one verse. It says, then I saw that there is advantage to wisdom above folly, even as light has advantage over darkness. So the first point I want to make is, light is better than darkness. We have to see that. Because I'm going to share some things today that are going on in the world that are dark, that people don't see as darkness. We said yesterday, abortion. The worst dark thing. And I was talking to somebody a while back that's not a believer. Doesn't even believe in Elohim. He's an atheist or agnostic. But he doesn't agree with abortion. And he was saying, yeah, you know, 100 years from now, people look back on this time and say, oh, wow, that dark age that people believed in killing unborn children. Mm-hmm. You know, but for the majority of people out there, you know, it's just growing. America, 2 million a year. Yeah. You know, we're looking in Iraq and 4,000 soldiers have died since the beginning of the war. And that's terrible, absolutely terrible. 3,000 of our citizens died in 9/11. But we're murdering 2 million unborn babies just in America every year. Well over 42 million babies that have been killed since 1972. And people, they don't see it as darkness. They see it as a choice. I'm going to tell you today, you do have a choice. Because Yahweh's way is choose. But you're going to have to choose between the light and the darkness. You're going to have to make a choice. And if you don't choose, I'm going to tell you, you've chosen. If you don't choose, you've chosen the darkness. Because there's only two ways, there's only two spirits, and you're going to go one way or the other. And if you're not choosing Yahweh, you're choosing darkness. So what brought darkness to the world? How did this all start? Let's go to Job 38. Job 38, verse 6 and 7. Job 38, 6 and 7. It says, on what were its bases sunk, or who cast its cornerstone? Talking about a creation. He says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. And we know that the person who is the master, the king of darkness, Satan the devil, Ha-Satan, right? That at this time, he wasn't called Satan. He was called Lucifer, the light bearer. So what does that tell you? It tells you that a spirit being that, like it says, is a lot smarter than any of us. Never think you're smarter than Satan. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. That this being at one time was the greatest light to Yahweh in the world as far as the cherubs go. And somehow that light turned into darkness. So if it can happen to a cherub that is so smart and all-knowing, do we think it could happen to us? Of course it could. Of course it could. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Let's look at what happened when Satan went from light to darkness. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 says, O shining star, son of the morning, talking about Lucifer, how you have fallen from the heavens, you weakening the nations, you are cut down to the ground. For you have said in your heart, I will go up to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Elohim. And I will sit in the mount of meeting in the sides of the north. I will rise over the heights of the clouds. I will be compared to the Most High. Wow. Scary things. At one point, he's the top man saying, yes, sir. Yes, Yahweh. And over here, he's saying, hey, who's this Yahweh guy? I'm going to be the top guy. I'm going to be over him. And I said this yesterday. You know, when I see today this pattern of, you know, no judicial order, I'll never follow anybody, it's me and Yahweh. Boy, read Isaiah 14, because you know who you're following? You're following Satan. See, none of us are Elohim. None of us have life inherent. Every one of us needs breath from Yahweh to even survive. So the bottom line is this. Either we are surrendering to Yahweh, His judicial order, His servant leadership, and His word, or we're submitting to Satan. It's one or the other. There's not going to be a third pattern up here in the kingdom for people who just was me and Yahweh. It's not going to be like that. Because you know what? Yahweh's way, it's a big picture. And it's not just serving another person. It's all of us serving each other. You know, that's what it says in Ephesians. Everyone submitting one to another. You know, Proverbs 18. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. And there's people that won't go to a service. They wouldn't come to a service like this because I'll never hear a man. And what are they hearing? The voices they're hearing in the head. Whose voices do you think they're hearing? Satan. You know, I've heard people tell me that, you know, they'll do all this mumbo jumbo and fall on the ground and bark like a dog and this other stuff, and they'll say it's the Holy Spirit. They heard a voice. Oh, I don't doubt they heard a voice. That's not Yahweh. Not Yahweh. That's not Yahweh's judicial order. That's not Yahweh's structure. Does it confirm to the Word? And I'll take people to the Word and show them. Yahweh's not the author of confusion. You know, this isn't the way it's done. And what they'll say is, oh, that was the old. You know, we don't go by the Word anymore. We go by the Spirit. But if you're not going by the Word, what Spirit is leading you? Because one way, you know, it says, test the spirits, not every spirit is of Yahweh. One way you know if something, whether it's just a motivation, or it's a voice coming in your head, or it's something, one way you know if it's really from Yahweh, it'll be confirmed by the Word. Everything is confirmed by the Word. That's the second confirmation, absolutely everything. If it's not confirmed by the Word, look out. It could be another spirit. But Lucifer, the light bearer, becomes Satan, the light taker. And that's one thing you're going to see. That whenever you're not being a light bearer, you're being a light taker. It's one or the other. Like I said, there's only two roads to go. So you're a light bearer or you're a light taker. The darker it gets, the less light there is. I'm telling you, the world is getting dark. It's getting dark. Remember when Yeshua died? It got dark at 12 in the afternoon till 3. It was a dark day. And it's a dark day in the history of man that we're living in with the things going on. I'm telling you, with the things going on, it's a dark day. It's a dark day when you see so many people into so many things and people so messed up and into New Age and into homosexuality and just the things we see that are coming. We're living in about the darkest age you can. And that's what Scripture says. It'll be the worst time man has ever known and ever will be. Like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the darker it gets, the less light there is. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Light will remove darkness. You cannot see darkness if light is present. What happens? Every night it gets dark. Sometimes it's so dark, if your room is closed, you can't see the hand in front of your face. But what happens in the morning when the sun comes up, when light comes, that's how you wake up. You literally wake up to the light. You cannot see darkness if light is present. Pride, self-centeredness brought darkness. Darkness is a state of being as well as a physical manifestation. Although darkness isn't night, you can see darkness, or actually, you know, you're not seeing light. It's not that you're seeing darkness, it's you're not seeing light, because darkness is simply the absence of light. But it's also a state of being, it's a state of mind. And is our state of mind, are we in darkness or are we in light? Which way are we? Yahweh is only light. That's the first thing. Yahweh is only light. There is no darkness in His presence. Darkness is the absence of Yahweh. So wherever there's complete darkness, what is that telling you? Yahweh's not there. It's the complete absence of Him. Some of you in our hotel may be having problems sleeping some nights. I know we have. You know why? Because of darkness. There's a club right around the block. You know when they open? At midnight. They open at midnight and they're up all night playing evil, evil satanic music. But you know what? Man, I hear believers... children playing satanic music with iPods, and they let them do it. And I wonder why. I mean, if it isn't enough that we have that our kids don't listen, and they're kids and they don't understand, they're walking and they're not listening, now we got to stick earphones in their ears, right? 12 hours a day? Is that going to make them listen to us more? No. You know, my younger brother, nice young kid, but the last few years, getting into this iPod stuff and just all day long putting demonic music into his head. What is that going to do? Because I'm going to tell you, there's a point where the darkness overtakes you that the light can't come back. And that's the scary part. That's the part we really have to watch for. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. In verse 4, one verse. 2 Peter 2, 4. It says, "For if Yahweh did not spare sinning cherubs, but delivered them to chains of darkness, thrust down into Tartarus, having been kept to judgment." Yahweh took these cherubs that sinned, like we're reading in Isaiah 14, and He cast them into chains of darkness. And they're there right now. They're confined in this Tartarus in chains of darkness. Because again, these were light bearers that turned on Yahweh. And once they turned on Yahweh, there was no light left. And it's the same with us. What does it say in Hebrews 6? If you turn back after making this commitment, there's no more sacrifice for sins. And I've seen it. It's scary. I've seen people I've known for 15, 20, 25 years as a believer. And they turn back, and within a matter of months, it's like you never knew them. They almost forget everything they knew before, and you see it in their look. You can see the darkness in their eyes and their face and the things they get into. It's sad. It's really, really sad, and we don't want to get toward that state. Let's go to John 1, because let's start understanding now what is light. What is light? What brings light? How do we stay in the light? John 1:1, going down to verse 9. John 1:1 to verse 9. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh," or "the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." He was in the beginning with Elohim. And some people say, Yeshua is an Elohim. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what they're reading. "All things came into being through Him, and without Him not even one thing came into being that had not come into being." And they'll say He never existed before He was born. Here it's telling us He created everything. "In Him was life," verse 4, "and the life was the light of men." Where does the light come from? By Yeshua in us. By living the way He did, by keeping the darkness out. "In Him was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it." There was a man sent from Yahweh. His name was John. He came for a witness, that he might witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but that he might witness concerning the light. Yeshua, He was the true light. He enlightens every man coming into the world. And when you look at believers and you see that smile on their face and you see that brightness glowing from them, what does it tell you? The light is in them. The light is in them. And the world can't understand. They can't understand in times of darkness when they see people that are radiating with light. And we've had people say to us before, they never knew us before. They'll just come up to us, even in a store. You know, "Wow, why are you so happy? You know, what's that brightness coming off of you?" Great opportunity. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Yeshua in us. John 3:16. John 3:16, going down to verse 21. "For Yahweh so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone believing in Him should not perish but should have everlasting life. For Yahweh did not send His Son into the world that He might judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. The one believing into Him is not condemned, but the one not believing has already been condemned, for he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than light, for their works were evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light, and does not come to the light, that his works may not be exposed. But the one doing the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in Yahweh." And you know, we talk a lot about the kingdom, and that's awesome. It's awesome to talk about the kingdom and Yeshua coming, and very soon this will be gone. But you know something, the sad reality is that Satan the devil, in the flesh, will have his feet sitting on this land before Yeshua puts his feet on this land. That's a reality. And the kingdom of Satan will dwell for 42 months. Revelation 13. A real kingdom. It's going to be a real kingdom with a real leader having Satan in embodying that person. And we're getting close to that time. And it doesn't come overnight. They've been building up to this. And all these things started happening with world government and all these things are leading to that time. And that's why it's the darkest time that men has ever known. And there's only two ways to go in the end. And I say this, more people will be lost in the end time than any other generation. Why? Because everything has come to light. And now there's no more hidden mysteries. You either choose Satan or choose Yahweh. Which side are you going to go on?
Yahweh.
All right. And we have to make that choice in a day where it's not like it was 2,000 years ago. 264 villages around the Sea of Galilee, and some people never left their village their whole life. And you get up 5 in the morning and go roll your dough and go to your field with your little 18 or 22 people in your village. It's not that world anymore. Oh, I wish it was. But it's not. And face it, everything around us, we'll talk about that in a little bit, affects us. We're going to talk about the things around that Satan has put, not for light, but for darkness. Let's go. I'll read it. You don't have to go there. John 8 and verse 12. It says, "Then Yeshua again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one following me will in no way walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's what I'm saying. That's where the light shines in the end. It's through Yeshua and his believers. But there are very few. And the rest of the world are going to be what? Foot soldiers for Satan. It's going to be a very, very ugly time. John 9 and verse 4. "It beholds me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So very clearly we see the source of light. The source of light is Yahweh and Yeshua. Definitely the source of light. I'll read this scripture. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 1:3. Talking about Yeshua, who being the shining splendor of his glory, the glory of the Father, and the express image of his essence, and upholding all the things by the word of his power, having made purification of our sins through himself, he sat down on the right on the majesty on high. He's the shining splendor of the image of the Father. Yeshua is not the Father. I can show you 100 scriptures to prove that. But he is the express, the shining image of the Father. And that's why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because there's one spirit. They have the same mind, the same will, the same thought pattern. And that's what it's about. So when you've seen Yeshua, Yeshua isn't going to bring a different message than the Father would bring. He is the exact shining splendor of the Father. Revelation 1. Revelation 1 and 14. Revelation 1 and 14. Talks about when Yeshua returns. Let's look how he is when he returns. "And the hairs of his head were white as wool as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like burnished brass, having been fired in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And having in his right hand 7 stars and a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. And his face shining as the sun in its full power." What's going to happen when Yeshua returns for the people who aren't in the light? The light is going to overtake them. The light is going to be too bright. The light is going to burn them up. But for the people who love the light, what do? We draw to the light. We get our energy from the light. It's like the sun. We couldn't live without the sun. We have to draw energy from light. You know, you'll get sick, you'll die. You can't go very long without light. But for people in darkness, they hate the light. Why does it say? Because their deeds are exposed. Philippians 2. What we're going to see is the same way that Yeshua was the bright and shining essence of the Father, he tells us his disciples, and what is a disciple? One who follows exactly like his master. He tells us that we have to be that bright representation of him. He's the bright representation of the Father. We need to be the bright representation of him. Philippians 2 and verse 12. "So then, my beloved, even as you also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much rather in my absence, cultivate your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of Yahweh, without fault in the midst of a crooked generation, even having been perverted, among whom you shine as luminaries, as lights in the world." What is it? Do we take the Babylonian mindset? And when something doesn't go our way, why do I have to sit here? Why didn't I get the last apple? You know, why? You know, what is it? What is it? And I say, when we complain, because every situation given is from Yahweh. And when we complain, who are we complaining to? Yahweh. That's who's complained. I was sharing with somebody the other day with the Bible school. I know Yahweh set that up. Without a shadow of a doubt. There's no way I could have did it. It would have been impossible. All I had was an idea in my head without a penny in my pocket. And in the matter of 3 months, we had a college campus and everything there and everything we needed. And Yahweh put it together. You know, were the rooms the Hyatt Hotel? No, they're just basic living rooms. But what I told the people when they got there is, if you have any complaints, don't come to me. Go to Yahweh, because I didn't pick the place. He picked the place. And that's the way it is. You know, the same with the feast here. The Habira wouldn't have been my first choice. You know, it's okay, it's adequate, but it wouldn't have been my first choice. But that's what Yahweh provided, and that's what we're here. You know, and it's like we have to get that in our mind, because you know what happens? If not, you're going to miss out on opportunity for serving. Because there could be a reason why that happens. Like, one of the brethren were telling us a story. They were staying in a house, and they weren't supposed to get to the Habira until a day later, and they got kicked out of their house. There were other people coming, and they said, you got to leave, these people are here. But they had good attitudes. Okay, Yahweh must have something else. And they came, and then Kim was able to be part of the baptism. If not, she wouldn't have. So, you know, we have to always remember that all things work to the good. And when you're a light, you just don't know where the Father is sending you to put that light. You know, maybe something's lost under the chair and we just don't know it yet. You know? But if He's calling for the light, there's a reason why He's calling for the light there. And you have to, we have to be ready for that. We have to be willing for that. And I always say, you know, if I'm going to an airport and I have an airplane ticket and I'm on my way to America, and somebody came up and said, the Father said you are to go to China and put a ticket in my hand, I'd probably be on my way to China. You've got to always be willing and open to see where He's going to send that light. Important. John, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. We were talking about this yesterday. That, like I said, we have to be the exact representation of Yeshua. We're supposed to be, people are supposed to see that living Messiah in us. By our deeds, by our actions, by our life. Let my life praise you. And look what it says to these first fruits, to the firstborn. 1 John 3:1. See the manner of love the Father has given us, that we may be called the children of Yahweh. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. The children of darkness ain't going to know us. But I'll tell you one thing. They may not know you, but they are afraid of you. And we'll be afraid of you. I tell the story, 2 years ago, we were coming down to Jerusalem, I forget what for, and we were on a bus. This Hebrew lady that didn't speak any English got on the bus with another lady, and the lady went to the back, and for some reason, this other lady sits right next to me. And she's nervous like anything, and doing all these things. And then she starts screaming in Hebrew. Just screaming and screaming and screaming. And the bus driver is talking to the guy next, you know, Meshuggah, you know, and saying, we're going to have to take this lady to a mental hospital. I just sat there reading my paper, praying to Yahweh. Yahweh, do you want me to cast the demon out? What do you want me to do? Didn't hear anything, just sat there. And from nowhere, she jumps up, and she doesn't speak English, but starts talking in English. And she says, I know you, I know you, and she's pointing at me. I know you, I'm not afraid of you, I'm not afraid of you. The demon in her was terrified. Now, he didn't know I was, but he knew that there was a light in me. He knew there was something in me. I just sat there, didn't say a word. Finally, they calmed her down, got her in the back. But I'm telling you, they can see it. And we need to discern spirits. Me and my wife are very, very good at that. It's a gift that's been given to us. You know, that I could usually see a demon a mile away. If somebody is coming with a bad spirit, I feel it. You know, the Spirit testifies. I was in a meeting one time, and they were having a prayer meeting. There was about 60 people. And people were holding hands. This was years and years ago before I understood some things I understand today. And all of a sudden, this lady fell on the ground and starts rattling in a tongue. And the Holy Spirit in me was pressing as if I was having a heart attack. I felt this pressing. And I literally got lifted off the ground by the Holy Spirit, like pushing against this. And I pulled off my hands from these people and I stopped it and I said, hold on. I said, I'm not saying I'm right and I'm not saying she's wrong. All I'm saying is the spirit in her is not the spirit in me. And that's it. And I wouldn't go on with it. And you have to. You can't go in to places where demons are present and think it's not going to affect you. You know, I heard somebody, oh yeah, I go to the bar because, you know, there's people in the bar and hey, Yeshua went to the sinners. Yeah, the sinners came to Yeshua. Right. Yeshua didn't go to the sinners. They came to Him. We don't have to go to a bar and knock down a six-pack in order to convert somebody. You know, we don't have to do it. Because I can guarantee you, every one of us has a cherub that watches us, maybe more. But I can guarantee you that cherub's not going into that bar. That cherub's not going into those places that are of darkness. And we got to know. We got to know, where are we bringing that light? Yeshua is living in us. Where are we going to bring the light of Yeshua into these dark places? So he says, the love that he has, that we're called children of him. And verse 2 says, beloved, we are now the children of Yahweh, and it was not yet revealed what it shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall see him, for we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone having this hope on him purifies himself, even as that one is pure. So we don't know exactly what we're going to be like in the resurrection, but you know what? We know we'll be exactly like Yeshua, because we'll see him as he is. And that's the point. We are his representation. We are his ambassadors. And people are supposed to see him in us. The same way he was the shining glory of the Father, we are supposed to be the shining glory of the Son. But you've got to be a light to do that. We've got to be a light. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on the lampstand. And it shines for all those in the house. So let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. We were at the Bible school last year. You know, I was having the people make a list. What do you do all day? Put down from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. Because if you're the servant of somebody, you know, if we were slaves in Egypt, how much time would we have to give to Pharaoh? And how much time would we have for ourselves? Probably most to Pharaoh, right? So now even the more, being slaves of Yeshua, and people wrote down and they put and they announced it. Now some people said, I Bible study here for 3 hours and I pray over here for 2 hours, which is all good. But I said, you know something? Those are good things. We need them. We have to do them. It's our armor we put on. But there's no reward for prayer and Bible study. When you do the things that are the minimal requirement, say I'm an unprofitable servant, I just did what was required. Fruit is not prayer and Bible study. Fruit is good works. Fruit is good works. Who's serving the widow? Who's serving the orphan? Who's going out here and helping the poor? That's what he's saying here. We have to be a light. And I'm not downgrading prayer and Bible study. I do a lot of it myself every day of my life. But what I'm saying is, those things are a means to an end. And we have to be doing something from there. People need to see our light. They need to see that light shine in a world of darkness. And we can't put it under a bushel. We can't put our lights under bushels. Acts 26, verse 15. Because this is what our calling is about. This is exactly why Yeshua called us. He called us to be his representation. And he said, lo, I am with you to the end. Yeshua never left. You know where he is? He's in me, and he's in you, and he's in you, and he's in you. He's here in this room, in every one of us. Because his spirit is a living spirit. And we need to do the works that he does. And that's the way you defeat darkness. The more light that's there, darkness goes. Does anybody see any darkness in this room? No. There's too much light for there to be darkness. And all darkness is the absence of light. So as long as light is present, there won't be darkness. But if you take your light into full darkness, you ever light a match, you're trying to light your grill or something, you just light one little match and it keeps going out, and it keeps going out, and it keeps going out. Finally you want to bring a blowtorch, right? Because a match is just a little light. And you take your little light, and like I said, you go into that bar, you go in where it's full darkness, that darkness will hover over and cut your light out like anything. You want to make sure you're taking your light in where it can shine. Acts 26:15. And I said, who are you, sir? This is when Paul was knocked down on the road to Damascus. And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet. This is Yeshua talking to Paul. For it is for this reason I appear to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness, both of what you saw and in what I shall appear to you. Having delivered you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to the authority of Yahweh, in order that they may receive remissions of sin and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me. I'm telling you, this is life and death. It's life and death. Every time I talk to somebody out there, I'm praying to the Holy Spirit, put the words in my mouth, I know it's life and death. To take these people out of Satan's authority of darkness into Yahweh's light. It's so important. It's important for us to be out there doing this. We can't be hiding in a corner somewhere. You know, because I'm telling you, the day is coming soon, and it's not that far, where there's going to be a famine. Not a famine of food, like it says in Amos, but a famine of the Word. And there will be a day where that darkness is going to cover this earth for 42 months. And Yahweh's people are going to be underground. And they're not going to be shining their lights in Satan's government. And that time is coming quickly. And while it's still day today, while it's still cold today, we need to get those lights out there. Because it's the matter of life and death for some of these people. It's the matter of eternal life. And we have to look at the seriousness of it. John 11:9-10. Yeshua answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Anyone who walks in the day, he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. You know, I'm amazed to see sometimes how many believers will sleep during the day and be up all night. There's a lady we knew a couple of years ago that deceived us greatly. She came across like she was this almost like prophetess and dedicated her life to Yahweh and told us a lot of things that were just not true. We found out, you know, she had abandoned her family and all these other things. And they say they're walking in the light, and she used to stay up all night long. She'd say, "Oh, I have to pray all night." And then she'd sleep all day. That's not what Yahweh's word says. It's not what it tells us. He says we're to be children of the day, not children of the night. And you know, there's a different polarity to your body. All of our bodies have an electrical magnitude. And it doesn't work when we're up all night. When I was a kid, I used to work night shift. You know, at a couple of places unloading trucks. Wow, within like a month, I was just couldn't take it anymore. And our body needs it. Do you know between 10 o'clock at night and 2 o'clock in the morning that your brain puts out endomorphins to redo your immune system? The only time of the day. And if you don't sleep during those days, you won't get it. And your immune system will just keep breaking down. And the Father made it that way. Because what happens at night? Bad things happen at night. And we're not to be children of the night. Would it be children of the day? And the thing, you know, it may sound good at first that, well, we're praying around the clock. But be honest. The world is 24 hours. And it's daylight somewhere in the world all the time. When it's night here, it's daylight there. So somebody around the world is always praying. And I don't know if I buy this. You know, we have to pray here 24 hours. I don't see it. I don't see it scriptural. You know, because we're all one body. So when we go to sleep, what happens? Australia takes over. And then when they go to sleep, then, you know, this one takes over. And then when we go to sleep, America takes over. And that's the body working around the clock. It's not people staying up all night. You know, and some of the places I've saw weren't so great anyway, what I was seeing happening down there. But it's important, we have to start to understand this. We need to be children of the day. And sometimes you see people, they're so tired all the time. And they're dragging. And you find it out. They're staying up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They're not getting sleep. You know? I love it. I love getting up early in the morning, 5:30, 6. And the sun's coming up and you sit there before all the people and you're reading your Bible and you can really get the day in. Romans 13. Because I want to show you what happens at night. There's a reason why the Father wants us sanctified. I'm going to tell you something. We've been now 9 years this August out of America. 9 years. And we've been all over the place. Everywhere from Jordan to Egypt to Israel to Europe to Italy to you name it. Greece, I mean Cyprus, many, many places we've been to. And almost always, I mean, we're real early to bed. Sometimes even 8 o'clock or 8:30, you know, 9 o'clock, whatever. But here and there, things have happened where we had to go out at night once. You know, like a friend would invite us to their restaurant or something. And anytime we were out at night, we always felt, even in our area where we live, just a block from our house, we just felt the difference. You know, and Cyprus is one of the most family places I've ever been to. But not at night. Huh. There's every kind of prostitution and evil things and drugs and this is all the things that happen at night. You know, and we don't want to be part of that. We want to be sanctified within our house. And And you close that door, and I'm telling you, when we were in Israel, every single house in our neighborhood was robbed except for ours. Matter of fact, one of the security came to our house with a gun because he was wondering if we were like doing it, if we were set up or something. Because they're robbing everyone but you, and he couldn't understand it at first. You know, that was when he first met us. And for whatever reason, they went to all these other places. But the Father sanctified our house. And one of the things was we weren't out there carousing in the nights and doing all these things that they do. But Romans 13 and verse 12 says, "The night is far gone and the day is drawn near. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the weapons of light. Let us work becoming as in the day, not in carousings and drunkenness and in cohabitation and lustful acts, not in fighting and envying." And that's the world. How many people live together in the world without marriage? All this stuff going on. Like I said, shocked. Heard from several different people on different parts of the country. You know, people that, good working people, honest jobs, working in security places and working in insurance. The Friday evening, all the people throwing their keys in a bowl, and whoever's key you get, that's who you go home with this night. Absolutely Sodom and Gomorrah. Absolutely abomination. These are things going on in the night. And I used to work in New York years and years and years ago when I... 18, 19, 20 years old, I had a courier service with my dad. And I saw the difference. Boy, you go in New York during the day, it's Wall Street and ties and everything else. You go there at night, wow, it's like night and day. That's the expression. Drugs and prostitution and everything you can imagine. You just don't want to be there. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Because we're actually commanded not to be. It's not just a good idea to help your life, not to get in trouble. It's a commandment that we are to be separated from darkness. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what agreement does the Messiah have with Belial? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple or the sanctuary of Yahweh have with idols? For you are a sanctuary of the living Elohim, even as Yahweh said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Adonai, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the scariest part is, to the Laodicean, remember? He's rich and increased with goods in need of nothing. He has no idea of the darkness he's walking in. He doesn't even see it as darkness. I say, if you have more friends that are non-believers, that are non-covenant people than covenant people, there's a problem. You know? I don't know, trying to think if I even really have one friend that's not. I have a lot of acquaintances, but you know, just like Yeshua had the 3... and the 12 and the 70, you know, there were the 70 disciples and then there were the 12 apostles. But then even in the 12, he had, you know, John and Peter and James. You need that in your life. You know, there's a lot of acquaintances, thousands we have. You know, and we're friendly and we like them and we'll help them. But there's a social line that's put in the sand. Because I've learned the hard way. You cross that social line, it's not always easy to come back. And my life is too busy and complicated already that I don't need any more non-believers as part of that social pattern. You know, and like I said, we'll help them. Many people, where we live, they all love us, our neighbors. But I say to Petra, keep that line. Be friendly, be nice, we'll help them, but keep that line there. You need it. There's only so many hours in the day. And if our mind is going to be focused and have the arm and be focused on Yahweh, we can't be around unbelievers all the time. And this is a commandment. We can't be unequally yoked with non-believers. And that's whether it's in business, people going in business partners with non-believers, marriages, I mean, you name it, that people are doing this because, again, they don't see it. They don't see it as darkness for what it really is. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. It says, for when they say peace and safety, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, like the travail of the one having a babe in the womb, and not at all they shall escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, we should not sleep as the rest do, but we should watch and be sober. For those sleeping sleep in the night, and those having been drunk are drunk in the night. But we being of the day should be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And sometimes people will say, and I've said, well, I can't believe the world can't see this. I mean, starvation all over the place now, right? Riots going on with this. We're seeing famine. We're seeing lack of water. And the world goes on like nothing's happened. No, we've seen this before. What is he saying? The children of the darkness are not going to see it. But the children of the light will. And any true believer I've ever known, they see the times we're living in. They see we're living in the end times. But the Laodicean doesn't want to see it. Well, how do we really know? Maybe there's 100 years left. What's the difference? Because there's too much darkness in their life. And the more darkness in the life, the less light there's going to be. And it will. It'll overtake them as a thief. Sad to say it. You know, it crushes my soul. But I know that most in the States will not see it until the end. Because there's too much in the system, too much flowing, too much going. You know, we have to make sure we're keeping that light bright. Even reading. You ever try to read in a dim room? Number one, it's hard, and then it really hurts your eyes. But when the light is bright, then you can see. And that's what we want to make sure. We want to make sure that light is bright in our life. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. And it says, and this is the message which we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you. Yahweh is light, and no darkness is in him. None. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, the Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. What a great scripture, huh?
Yeah.
And you don't know how many times in my life I've used 1 John 2:4 about the commandments. He who says, I love you, and keeps not your commandments is a liar. And many of us use that, but are we using this one? Because you can keep the commandments, you can keep the Sabbath, if you're walking in the darkness, the light of Yahweh is not in you. Because there's no darkness in him, none. 1 John 2, just one chapter over, 1 John 2, verse 7, look what he says. Brothers, I do not write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, I write a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light already shines. The one claiming to be in the light and hating his brother is in darkness until now. The one loving his brother rests in the light, and no offense is in him. But the one hating his brother is in the darkness, and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness blinded his eyes. See, that's another thing about darkness. What happens when you're in darkness? You can't see. And the more you go in darkness, because darkness doesn't always come that quick. You know, sometimes it'll get dark, and you ever go into a tunnel? It'll get dark in the beginning, but there's still light from behind you. But the more you go into that tunnel, you hit a point in that tunnel where it's complete darkness, you can't see anything. And that's the problem. Once there's darkness, you can't see for nothing. And this is the problem. I mean, amazing. You look in the scripture. If you don't forgive your brother, I will not forgive you. And we need forgiveness every day of our life. Every day. There's not a day in my life I don't, before I go to the Father, forgive me for anything I did. Forgive me for any offense I've had for anybody. Now, how can I do that if I'm going to bed not forgiving somebody else? And people do it. And then they go on and they go on and they build a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness will choke the Holy Spirit. And what happens? The darkness that gets greater. But that's the scary part about it. The more you go into darkness, you will go to a point that there'll be no light at all. And I've seen it with people, you know, going into things that they shouldn't, going into things with false, you know, worship and all that stuff. And they'll say, oh, I know this is bad, but, you know, there's some good things here. What are we listening to? You know, what are we doing? What are we reading? You know, what are we listening to? What kind of TV are you watching? How much darkness is in your life? How much darkness is in your life? TV, internet, or language? Sometimes I hear people just, like the way in the West sometimes of, you know, could be the simplest thing. You know, like you're coming in with a bowl of popcorn. And you say, oh, the popcorn burnt. Oh, I'd expect that from you. And everyone chuckles, right? No, that's darkness. That's not light, that's darkness. It's not funny. Somebody gets hurt. you know, and we laugh. That's darkness. That's not light. Well, why would it be funny to us if somebody fell? Maybe they're hurt. You know, all these things that are part of our life that we're doing, our language. You know, is our language uplifting? Because it's so easy to start with a negative attitude, and you start to talk, and then before you know, yeah, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And before you know, your whole life is just negativity. Everything you're talking about. Are you bringing light when you're doing that? You're only bringing darkness. We need to have words of eternal life. We want to go somewhere and uplift somebody. We want to have words when they're in trouble, that we can uplift them. We don't want words that just bring down and malign and gossip. So what is it? What is our language? What kind of books are we reading? What kind of material are we listening to? Now, I've had before people give me a tape or give me something, and I'll listen to it, I'll read. I'll say, wow, why did they do this to me? I don't want to pervert my mind with this kind of stuff. Oh, no, I know, there's only one good thing on page 116. Man, so you're going to read 140 pages of darkness to read one page of light? Uh-uh, not the way it should be. The music, like I said, I'm appalled. Appalled. There's a station in America, TBN, you probably all heard of Trinity Broadcast. Well, they have offshoots of that, church channel. They have a channel called JCTV. It was on one of the cable channels when we were living. Abominable. It is hard rock acid music that they're trying to say is Christian rock. 100% darkness. And what are they doing? Every time these kids stick these plugs in their ears and let Satan bound it to them and bound it to them over and over and over, they're just pushing that darkness so there's no light whatsoever. And I would caution every parent about even allowing your kids these iPod things. If they have it, you better know what's on there. Know what kind of music your children are listening to. You better know what they're listening to, because I'm telling you, it's influential. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if you are hearing something over and over and over and over again, that's where you're going to become. And then all of a sudden we wonder, when they're 16 and 18, what happened to them? It's like what they're doing every day of their life. Every day they wake up. When you're young children, when they wake up every day, do you read them scripture? That's what it says. As they wake up, as you take them out for a walk, do you read it on the roadside? As they come into the house, do you read it when you're having your dinner? And as they lay down and go to sleep, do you read it when they're going to sleep? That's the way. People say to me, they look at the scripture that says, train a child in the way he shall go, and when he's older, he'll come back to it. That's not what it says. So they don't raise their kids in the truth, and then their kids are in the world, and they say, I'm banking on that somehow he's going to turn and repent. Now the scripture says, train a child in the opening of the way, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. And what it means is, from the time that child's born, if you train it according to the Torah, he's never going to leave it. It's not that he's going to leave and come back. And we have to do it. We have to be training our children this way. Music, the darkness, the doctrine. I mean, people, smorgasbord of false doctrines coming in. It's all darkness. We have to start going to the light and bringing our lights to get lighter. Remove all unrighteousness from our light, from our life. John 4:34. Yeshua said to them, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me and that I may finish his work. That we do the will of him who sent us and that we should finish his work. This should be what our focus should be. It should be on finishing the work of Yahweh, getting our lights brighter. Ephesians 5:8-10. It says, For you then were darkness, but are now light in Yahweh. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is pleasing to Yahweh. So one way to stay in the light is you need to ask yourself, you know, is this pleasing to Yahweh? And it's something I've heard parents say to their kids, you know, like maybe a 7-year-old will say something like, Daddy, can I do this? And it's something they really shouldn't be doing. And I'll hear the parents say, do you think Yahweh would approve of that? And then they think and say, nah, you're right. You know? So it's like, are we doing that? Are we doing what is pleasing to the Father? Is everything we're doing, are we seeing if it's pleasing? I said a long time ago, one big thing that changed my life is, I used to ask the question, is this sin? You know, I mentioned before I used to love sports and watching sports and football. And I used to just sit there all day Sunday and justify, I worked all week and it's not sin. Where does it say thou shalt not watch football in the Bible? But then I started asking a new question. Is it holy? Is it holy? And I got a whole different answer. Boy, did my life change when I started saying that. Because just the fact that something isn't lined out as sin does not make it holy. And that's what we have to do. We have to be seeking what's pleasing to the Father in all holiness. Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." People that turn away from the Torah, people that say the law is nailed to the cross, they're walking in darkness. They're walking in absolute darkness. Isaiah 8:20, if they teach not according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in them. So why on earth would we be listening to anything of somebody that doesn't believe in the Torah? Right off the bat, why would we? You know, somebody, sometimes they'll give me this statement, I'll say, well, does he believe in the Ten Commandments? Well, no, but. I'll say, wait a second. You know, but is the way Adam and Eve got deceived by the devil. If somebody can't even get 10 rules, and none of them are complicated, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't lie. If somebody is telling me that these are done away with, he is not qualified to stand here and preach. And I certainly don't want to hear anything else he has to say. Because what is he going to teach me? That I can commit adultery? That I can lie? That I can... I don't want to hear anything else. Because I don't want to hear part of something that's good mixed in with darkness. And brethren are doing it all the time.
What's the scripture again?
Isaiah 8:20. If they preach not according to the Torah and the prophets, there's no light in them. And that's what people are doing. They're coming between, they're taking light and darkness, and they're mixing it in together. And they're coming out with this gray area. And they're getting very confused. We got to go back to the light. What do we see? Yeshua is only light. Draw it to Him. Stick to the Torah. That's the thing. His word is what's going to bring us through these end times. Psalm 43 and verse 3. It says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me and bring me to the mount of your holiness and to your tabernacle." Send out your light and your truth. Psalm 43 and verse 3. So Proverbs 6, you don't have to go there or read it. Proverbs 6:23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life." See, that's what it is. It's His word that is continuously, continuously. And like Gary was saying yesterday, some people say, you know, it's this New Age philosophy. Never criticize your children. Only accept them. That's nonsense. Because you know what's going to happen? If you don't correct your children when they're younger, what's going to happen when they're older? They're not going to be correctable. You know, and the problem started with the baby boomers after World War II. Because that generation that went through the Depression said, "I don't want my children going through this. I want them to have a better life." And they stopped giving the rod of correction. And the end is the most selfish, evil, wicked generation going. You are not doing your children any benefit by not correcting them. And this nonsense, you're going to hurt their self-esteem. That's the devil speaking. That's the devil speaking. Because you know what? The Bible says you have to break the will of the child. You break his will, but not his spirit. Never break the spirit of a child, but you must break his will because his will is evil. It's human nature like ours. You know, and it says, don't spare the rod and spoil the child. He who spares the rod and spoils the child hates his child. And I'm telling you, I've seen it. I see children that do it all. It's like, "Please, Johnny." And, you know, ripping up. "Please, Johnny." No, that's not Torah. That's not bringing your children up in Torah. You know, this thing of allowing them to tell you and dictate your life. You know, like in a book we read, it said, you don't make your house childproof. You make your child houseproof. And if you teach them when they're that old, man, by the time they're 8 or 10, most of the battle is over. Not all of it, but most of it. Train a child at the opening of the way. Important. Important that we teach our children this. Matthew 25. Gotta run along here. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. It says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to meet a bride and the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom delaying, all nodded and slept. And at midnight a cry occurred, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him.' And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out.'" The light was going out. "But the wise answered, 'No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who buy and sell for themselves.'" Have we seen that before? "Go to those selling their wares, buy the tape, buy the sermon. And what happens? Well, all these people are going out and buying from all these charlatans. But if they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Adonai, Adonai, open to us. But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore watch, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. What did we just read before? That we would not be caught unaware, because we're children of light. That light has to stay bright, or the bridegroom's going to come and we're going to miss it. It's important to keep that light bright. What is the reason they miss it right here? Because the light was dimming. Now, what does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit waning in your life? You know, is the Holy Spirit waning in your life? One of the things that grieves me more than anything is when I hear people tell me, oh, I don't know why my teenagers, they always are bored. I'm thinking, oh my, is that... In America, we see it all over the place. The children are bored. How on earth, in the days we're living in, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, how could they be bored? We're living in the greatest time ever. The time Yeshua is coming back to earth. There's so much to be done. It's so exciting. How on earth can anybody be bored? There's a lot of things we could be. Nervous, frantic, you know, excited. But bored? How on earth can you be bored? And it's, again, it's a spirit. It's a spirit of darkness. Because what happens is when Satan brings this evil music and these evil video games and this evil TV and this evil MTV, it's not making these kids happy. I've seen it. I've seen the look of these little ones that I love with all my heart change almost overnight when they get into this stuff. Because Satan's spirit will never lead to happiness. Satan's spirit will lead to depression and suicide. Man, grab our kids. Hold them back. We got it. We got it. It's a fight. It's a fight for their souls. We have to make sure we're winning that fight. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And like I said, sometimes Satan comes as an angel of light. It's not always an evil rock music. He can come. Therefore, having this ministry, 2 Corinthians 4:1, even as we obtain mercy, we do not faint. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or corrupting the word of Yahweh, but by the revelation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of men before Yahweh. But also, if our gospel is being hid, it is being hidden in those being lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving, so that the brightness of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should not dawn on them. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but the Messiah Yeshua as Adonai and Master, and ourselves your slaves for the sake of Yeshua. Because it is Yahweh who said, out of darkness light shall shine, who shone in our hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yeshua the Messiah. And it says, don't be mystified if because Satan, who also was an angel of light, if his ministers come as angel of light. You know, a lot of them out there, that's what they are. They come, they look nice, they friendly. But are they preaching the words of eternal life? Or are they preaching easy answers, bringing people into every form of darkness? Look at Jude the first chapter, talking about the end times. Only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1, 11 through 13. Look what he says about them here in the end time. Woe to them because they went the way of Cain and gave themselves up to the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the speaking against of Korah. These are sunken rocks in your love feasts, feasting together with you, feeding themselves without fear, waterless clouds being carried about by winds, fruitless autumn trees having died twice, having been plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea foaming up their shames, wandering stars for whom blackness of darkness has been kept to the age. What does he mean, die twice? He means that they've been in covenant relationship. They came to the truth, and they're not living by it. He's talking about the eternal death, the second death of these people in the time we're living in. And I said, I honestly believe this Passover is a dividing line. It really is a dividing line. You mark my words, you watch around the world, you will see it everywhere. You are going to see division in this next year. You are going to see congregations breaking up more than before. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because people have to start standing on the side of the light. And it hasn't happened yet. The confusion that's come in the last years is because people are mingling with darkness. And just like Moses said, you know, when he was on the mount, all those on Yahweh's side come to me. And the people that want to obey our Yahweh, what did they do? They separated from the darkness. And it's time we have to think about it. We have to, because we're in a time as these things start happening and Satan's kingdom literally comes to this world and this presence of darkness comes, your time is running out. If you don't do this soon, you'll never do it. And when that darkness overtakes you a little bit more, you won't even know it. You'll be blinded to it, like it's saying here. Darkness will blind you to the point that you don't even know anymore. And the only way not to be deceived is to stay in the light. The only way not to get lost is to stay in the light. It's like when you're a hiker, you know, and they say, don't go off the path. You stay on the lighted path, you're fine. You go off the path and who knows where you are. You've got to stay in the light. Got to stay in the light. Luke 11, beginning in about 10 minutes. Luke 11. It says, but no one having lit a lamp places it in secret or under the grain measure, but on the lampstand that the ones entering may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then when your eye is sound, all your body is light. But when it is evil, all your body is dark. Watch then that the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is light, not having any part dark, all will be light as when the lamp enlightens you with its shining. Is our light light or is our light darkness, our eye? Is our eye light or is our eye darkness? Important. What are we watching? Like I said, if you say your light, your eye is light, and you're watching videos that have murder and cursing and adultery, and it's like, well, I know, but we kind of just fast forward through that part. Man, is that the stuff we want to bring? Where is our eye? Is our eye in the light or is our eye in the darkness? Because like he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. That's where everything comes in from. Matthew 13.
Is that Luke 11:34?
That was Luke 11:33 through 36. Matthew 13:36 through 43. It says, then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the wheat and the tares of the field. And answering, he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the hostile one who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the cherubs are the reapers. Pretty much everything we're seeing right now is the stage is set. Let the games begin, right? Then the tares are gathered and are consumed in the fire. So it will be in the completion of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs and they will gather out of his kingdom all the offenses and all those who practice lawlessness. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears to hear, let him hear. See, when Yeshua comes, he says the ones, the believers, that we're going to be shining when this happens. Is our light shining? Is our light shining? Or is it going to be put out by the darkness? You ever see a real big blaze? Fire, you know, what do they call them? Alarm for fire that's coming. And no matter how much they try to put it out, they can't. It's too big. You know, a little fire you could throw out with a cup of water. But a big blaze, boy, it takes a lot to get it out. And there's a big black smoke that's coming over very shortly. And if all you are is a little match lit, it's going to snuff you out like that. But boy, if you're a four-alarm fire, there ain't no way he's going to be able to put it out. And that's what it's going to be. When he returns, he wants to see how bright are we when he returns. How bright are our lamps? Daniel 12 talks about the same thing. Daniel 12 verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great ruler who stands for the sons of your people. And there will be a time of distress such as has not been from the being of a nation until this time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. And many of those sleeping in the earth thus shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to reproaches and everlasting shame. And those who act wisely shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and those turning many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's the key. We need to be that brightness. We need to shine as much as possible. I'm going to read two more scriptures and then we'll end here. First one is in Revelation 21:23. This is about after Yeshua returns when the kingdom comes. It says, and the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon, that they might shine in it, for the glory of Yahweh illuminated it, even its lamp is the Lamb. When that kingdom comes, there is going to be no need for a sun, because the presence of Yahweh is enough light. With Him living in us, is that enough light? Are we magnifying that light of Him living in us for that way? Revelation 22. Revelation 22, starting in verse 1, one page over. It says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, bright as crystal, coming forth out of the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. In the midst of its street and its river, from here and from there, was a tree of life producing 12 fruits, according to 1 month each yielding its fruits. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And every curse will no longer be, and the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb will be in it. And His slaves will serve Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads." How important is the name of Yahweh? "And night will not be there, and they have no need of a lamp or a light of the sun, because Yahweh Adonai will illumine them. And they shall reign to the ages and the ages." This is what we have to look forward to. The light of Yahweh. Yeshua is the light of the world. Yeshua was the exact light and glory of the Father. We are supposed to be the same glory as He is. And like I said, darkness is the absence of light. As children of light, we need to remove ourselves from all darkness. Darkness will put out the light. Separate from all darkness in your light. Most important thing now, I believe, is getting near other lights. Getting near other lights. Because like I said, if each of us is a little match on our own, the wind can blow it out. But when you put it together and that light gets brighter, it's going to be able to shine. And I'm telling you, when the bad times come, there will not be free movement. There will not be free movement. Wherever you are, the Scripture says it. When they ask, where do we go? What do we tell them? Those for sword to sword, those for famine to famine, those for pestilence to pestilence. You know, wherever you are, that's your lot. And if you're not near believers, seriously consider getting near other believers. It's so important. You know, I know many people over the last 5-10 years, I know many people, Yahweh put them away from people because they were coming out of churchianity and coming out of all these pagan things. And they needed a time in their own spiritual wilderness. And they weren't ready to be near other believers because they had to purify themselves first. But I'm telling you, the days are coming that it will be so dark, you have to be near other lights. You need to start bonding together, you know, with other believers of like-minded. If not, when that day comes, I'm telling you, you'll be very sorry. Be near other believers. Start seriously thinking about this. You know, because again, where the more light is, there's no darkness. In Yahweh's kingdom, there's only light.